Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show in Atlanta for your ride home.
You strong? They said, I'm strong if you strong. I said, we strong then.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coming up, top three at six. We'll let you hear from Austin Hooper and Grady Jarrett down at the Pro Bowl. That's going to happen on Sunday, by the way, as they rep the Falcons. Before we get into that and let you hear Alex Anthopoulos, if you're just jumping in the show, Double A, general manager for our Atlanta Braves, stop by the show today to talk about everything Braves. We'll let you hear it coming up in 15 minutes. But, Mike, a big retirement today.
Yeah, Eli Manning announced that he's going to retire tomorrow as a New York Giant. And a guy that it's amazing. It's funny getting the conversation about, oh, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer? He's going to get a gold jacket. It might take a year or two because when he was not good, it was tough, and the Giants did struggle. But you and I were fun. It's funny. We were talking earlier in the NFL Blitz. If you're the Dolphins picking fifth, what would you have to do to go get up to number one if you really wanted to try to, you know, sweeten that pot to get the Bengals to hand over Joe Burrow to you? The Giants, when they made the trade, remember San Diego, Eli Manning was picked by San Diego in the draft in 2004, and he didn't want to play for the Spanos family, knowing what an absolute disaster that an ownership group can be at times. And Eli held out. They knew they was never going to be a San Diego Charger. Giants and the agents all get involved. Here's what the trade was, Carl. Number one overall pick to the Giants. San Diego receives the following. They got Phillip Rivers, which, of course, was the Giants selection. They got the Giants' third-round pick in 04 and their first and fifth-round selections in the next year's draft. So to move up just at once, just three spots, the Giants gave up a first-rounder the following year. Needless to say, San Diego has never been in the Super Bowl with Phillip Rivers, and Eli has won two and been the hottest quarterback when they did it with great defense.
And that's why you can't judge that trade when it happens as their careers played out. And some people still want to compare Phillip Rivers, who, by the way, doesn't look like he's going to be back with the LA Chargers as he's moved to Florida now. But at the end of the day, the Giants would do this trade three times again because you won Super Bowls. And this is why you make the deal. Now, obviously, they went and drafted some pieces around him, Mike. And, you know, at one point he had Plaxico. And you look back at his career, you know, the 16 seasons. Are there guys that I think were better than Eli Manning and that I would take over Eli Manning if we were playing an All-Star game? Yes. But there's no doubt in my mind that Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Playing in that market, winning two Super Bowls, it's a no-brainer. And you know, some guys, listen, I even believe his brother was better, okay? Peyton was a better quarterback than Eli. But you can't dispute the numbers he put up and what he did.
But I think Peyton would have crumbled in New York. I don't think Peyton could have handled the pressure. I think Peyton, and I don't mean this in a weird way, I just say Peyton overanalyzes everything. He's one of those guys that breaks it down. He's doing his prep. Eli always seemed like a guy just water off a duck's back, right? The way he rolled through it,
yep.
And he was a pro, and again, he took a lot of heat because when it was bad, it was really bad, but he's seventh on the all-time touchdown list. He's, I think, 31 behind Phillip Rivers, by the way, but he got the hardware, and Bo Morgan and I, our producer, Squid, were talking about this earlier. Everybody remembers the David Tyree catch, the football on the helmet, Rodney Harrison trying to swat it away. Eli looks like a cross between Deshaun Watson and Fran Tarkenton on that play. If you go back and watch him run around before he delivers that strike.
Here's what's funny about what you're saying, and we'll get to the top three at six here in a minute. Sometimes it's about going to the perfect place for your personality. And I had this conversation with Michael Strahan years back about Eli Manning. Eli was one of these guys literally, and he didn't have to be the team leader, Mike. He didn't have to be the team leader when they won those Super Bowls. He had veteran guys on that team. The quarterback didn't have to be that guy. He just needed to do his job. And Strahan said there would be times where it'd be like, Eli, I'm all right. He was just never overly excited. His personality fit perfect because that stuff in New York didn't hurt his feelings. Mm-hmm. He wasn't that guy. I agree with you. And maybe Peyton would have been more sensitive to the criticism, where Eli, it's not in his nature. He doesn't give a damn.
At the end of the day, guys, what do we judge these dudes by when the light shines the brightest, right? In the playoffs, 18 touchdowns, 9 picks. Got hot when the Giants got hot. They went on the road. They won 3 games 1 year. They beat the Patriots. I don't have to tell you how that went down. So as I said, at the end of the day, if you're a Giants fan, you are satisfied with the effort that you got two more rings with Eli Manning. So he'll be in Cannes, but it's going to take a minute, right? Think second vote?
I don't know, Mike. I mean, you know this. I mean, everybody likes Eli.
He's okay then.
Everybody likes Eli. You can't meet anybody that goes, he's a jerk. Everybody likes Eli, and he won in New York. I think he gets in, no question, first time around. All right, man, Eli announces his retirement. You guys can let us know what you think. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's Dukes and Bell. Find us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at 929thegame. That's our radio station, obviously. And find Mike at Mike Bell ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. Let's get to the top three.
Time for Dukes and Bell, top three. The top three stories of the day.
Can I count it off?
All right, Mike, let's start with the news coming down from the Braves, and we've been talking about it all day. You'll hear Alex Anthopoulos address this. Marcell Ozuna. He steps into the lineup, right-handed bat. He can play all the outfield positions. He brings some flexibility. You said you think the numbers can transcend what we got from Donaldson last year?
He's a career 272 hitter. He was off a little bit. He missed a couple of games at 130 games shorter for the Cardinals. He did have 28 home runs, 89 RBIs. If he gets back to 275, that's way better than Donaldson. He's 18 points below what Josh did at rough of the season. And he's a guy that we saw it against the Cardinals. And part of the reason we lost to St. Louis in five games is Ozuna was clutch.
Yeah.
You know, so more clutch than you could argue our 3-4-5 was.
Let's take you back to the NLDS. If you don't remember Ozuna, that sounds familiar.
0-2 pitch, curveball, a shot, fair! Down into the corner it goes. Fowler is in. Right behind him is Edmund. He will score. And in the second base with a 2-RBI double, Marcell Ozuna.
All right, you relatively young guy. I know we had some Braves fans say, well, man, we're going to be in the same boat with, like, Donaldson. He'll be gone after a year. Well, maybe he sticks, maybe he doesn't. At some point, Pasha and Waters will be starters for this club.
Yep.
But he's a guy that can play for a year, and we'll see. The good news is, okay, you got about, doing the math, like about 90% of the production is covered right now. So if you want to think of it from a money ball standpoint, now we got to find a few more home runs and RBIs.
All right, guys, Alex Anthopoulos on the way. Hey, story number two, a couple of guys down at the Pro Bowl, Austin Hooper. Mike, let's hear Austin Hooper talk about his contract situation.
I mean, my whole attitude is it'll happen the way it's supposed to. I mean, I did my part, ended up here at the Pro Bowl, so if the organization wants me, they'll offer me. I still haven't received an offer from them. So if and when they're ready, they know who to hit, and I'll let my representation, the representation of the Falcons, handle it. But as of now, you know, I'm just enjoying what could be my last game as a Falcon down here at the Pro Bowl. So I'm just trying to represent the organization the best way possible and, you know, uphold, you know, myself to a high standard and make sure, you know, I conduct myself in the right way, represent those fans of Atlanta, the upper brass in Atlanta, coaches, everybody, just letting everybody know what I'm all about.
You didn't like what you heard.
I thought it was somewhat condescending. I thought Austin Hooper in this moment, you know, was again saying, look at me, look at what I've done. I've done my part. It's on them. I'm down here representing the team, maybe for the last time. I know some of you are going to take that and you go, Dukes, you're taking that too far. I just think, Mike, that if you are trying to get this deal with the Falcons, and again, this may or may not affect his deal, but I just think in this moment right now, you didn't think that was condescending to Falcon fans? Kind of like, you guys know what to expect from me. I mean, crap, I'm a 75-catch guy. That's what he sounded like.
Now, I mean, he got a little snarky with our midday host. It was John and Rick at the time when they were talking about the drops in 17. You know, Tammy gets banged. Right? Didn't Tammy get banged up when Hooper came over? Bo, in his first year, we go to the Super Bowl in 16.
Jacob Tammy?
Yeah. Yeah, Tammy went down, so he was a part of that run. Look, we've had good conversations with Austin. Whether you feel, A, it's just simply taking instructions from his agent to apply some leverage, you know, in the court of public opinion for Falcon fans out there, or, you know, he's just feeling he's feeling the way he's feeling. I do remember, and I thought, I got to go, I was trying to find the headlines. I thought that the Falcons were talking to him earlier and his representation pulled away. Earlier this year, this last year in 2019.
Now, I will say this with what I just said about Austin in that particular soundbite, and it doesn't make him a bad guy. This is his time to get paid, and Mike, he will. His age and comparative contracts,
right.
He will get this $50 million bucks. if whether it's with the Falcons or somebody else. So that's going to happen.
And on a team without, you know, Julio and Calvin, he might be a guy like Ertz who gets even more touches in an offense.
That's going to happen, but we'll see. We don't have time to let you hear Grady, but I do want you to hear in story three, guys, Brock Vandegrift. This is a young man that has committed to Georgia. Our morning show had him on. Mike and I replayed this interview earlier today. They asked him why he flipped from Oklahoma to UGA. Young man sounds very bright, intelligent. Sounds like he's got it going on.
The main thing was just wanting to stay closer to home because I have a really big family and just I love them being at my games and stuff. I like the new offensive coordinator, Coach Munkin, a lot, and I believe that Coach Smart has the program moving in the right direction, and I wanted to be a part of it.
There you go. You hear the entire interview online at 929thegame.com. Very wise beyond his years, and seemed like a kid who's been in some big moments. Very impressive, and you'll hear the whole thing. Great job with Hugh and Fricky and Abe, the producer, put that together.
Absolutely. More with Grady tomorrow as he gets ready for the Pro Bowl. All right, coming up, Alex Anthopoulos, guys. He stopped by the show earlier today. Listen to what he has to say about not only the Ozuna signing, but also what happened with Josh Donaldson. It's next. We love our listeners, so we got to give a big shout out to Jet Life underscore Steve-O. That is his name on Twitter and his Twitter handle. It's his birthday, Mike, so celebrate, man, like Dukes and Bell. You know what I mean?
Throw it down, man.
Get it in, Jet Life. All right, man.
Shot.
Thanks for listening. We appreciate you as always. Have a great birthday tonight and enjoy. All right. Alex Anthopoulos stopped by the show. Mike and I had a lot of questions, and we give you an opportunity to listen to what he had to say. Braves fans, let's hear from our general manager. First thing we asked him is, how does Ozuna change this lineup? Here he is, double A. Alex Anthopoulos. And Alex, thanks. I know it's been a busy time for you. We always appreciate you jumping on Dukes and Bell. We want to start, obviously, with the news that came down last night. Marcell Ozuna, 1 year, $18 million. What made you do this deal, and how much more better is this lineup, do you believe, with Ozuna?
Well, I mean, no doubt Ozuna is a significant add for us. At the start of the offseason, getting into free agency, we had identified him as what we felt was one of the more underrated players in free agency just because of, you know, his stat line last year was good, not great. Our underlining internal data and numbers on him were significantly stronger than that. And we thought he had a lot more in there, and it just, from his batted ball components and just some bad luck. So we think we've got a chance. If you look at that last year he had with Miami, 2017, obviously, was the best year that he had. We think he's got the ability to get back there, at least close to it. So we're certainly excited about it. Our priority was obviously trying to bring Josh Donaldson back. Once that wasn't going to happen, Ozuna was still out on the market, and we had stayed in contact with him throughout the winter, and we were glad he was still there to be able to get a deal done with us.
It is the Braves general manager, Alex Anthopoulos, with us here, and we were just doing the numbers on Ozuna before you came on. Again, he was off last year for some reason, but the guy still rakes, and Braves fans saw how clutch he was in the NLDS. So I think that's more than anything else. You're looking for a guy that can get it done when it matters most.
Yeah, he was someone that going into the DS, we identified just, you know, I was looking through the roster, the Cardinals, and looking at the stat lines, but then looking at some of our internal stats on guys, and Ozuna jumped off the page, and I was surprised that the numbers weren't that good during the season, but all the indicators were that he was ready to explode, and, you know, the bad luck for us and bad fortune was he happened to do it in the DS. So we handled six of the eight guys really well. Goldschmidt and Ozuna killed us in the series. We had leads in the eighth inning in the first four games, and we just couldn't get it done. So still a tough pill to swallow. Would have loved to have seen what could have happened. And Nats, Braves, then LCS, the way we had played the Nats at the end of the year. But we do have big expectations for Ozuna. We're excited about him. And we think, you know, he's got significant ceiling to what he did the last 2 years.
Alex, I think you've done a really good job. We've already signed, I think, four of the top 30 free agents that were available this offseason. That's Will Smith, that's Cole Hamels, Travis d'Arnaud, Chris Martin. But with that said, we were not in the room. But I have to ask for our listeners, were we late to the party with Josh Donaldson? Because in the interviews that he's given, it sounds like we approached him late with an offer, and then obviously the offer wasn't what it should have been or what he thought it should have been. Can you address that?
Sure. No, and I saw the interview that Josh gave, and I thought it was a really sincere, heartfelt interview. I thought it was nice that his first comments were with an Atlanta TV station, and the fans of Atlanta got to hear from him first and foremost. I couldn't comment until his deal was announced by the Twins. Look, in terms of, you know, getting to the party, I thought we got to the party before it even started. We were waiting for everybody to show up. So we were there the whole time. We were talking the whole time. We knew where everything was going. We had definitely talked about where we were at, where what kind of deal we were comfortable doing throughout the process, whether that was early in the off season, at the winter meetings, over the holidays, even coming into January, tons of conversations, hours on the phone, even before his deal got finalized with the Twins. I communicated a little bit with Josh as well.
Alex, so, real quick, so you knew the number. You guys knew what the number was going to be.
Yes, okay. Correct. And we had every opportunity to go there to try to get it done. And look, tough call, because he's a great player. He makes our team a lot better. He makes every team a lot better. Tough decision to make, but we ultimately decided, you know, to not get to that level on a contract. And we just, you know, from our standpoint, and, you know, we're trying to do the best we can to put a team on the field. And again, he's one of the best players in the game, but we have to be mindful of putting the best team on the field that we can with the resources that we have and everything else. And we made what we felt was a very strong offer from our standpoint, but there's no doubt the Twins' offer was north of where we were.
Right.
And I don't blame him. For a minute, he deserves the contract he got. He earned it. I think there's a reason it was, you know, someone pointed out, was the second highest contract for a player's age in terms of total guaranteed dollars. And if it's going to happen to somebody, it should be someone like Josh Donaldson, who's been the best player in the game. So we had every opportunity to get there. And we just were not comfortable going to those dollars. And we'll obviously find out over time if it was the right decision for the ball club. But, you know, it's a decision that I, as the general manager of the club, made that call. So tough call, because I love Josh Donaldson and everything he brought, and his teammates do, and coaches, and the fans do. And I know it was not going to be a top-tier decision, but at the end of the day, I have to do what I feel is right for the short and the long term of the ball club, as hard as it is.
It's Alex Anthopoulos with us, guys, a Braves general manager on the WaitFor.com hotline. And just to wrap it up, it wasn't the term, or it's 6-1, half a dozen the other, because obviously Braves fans feel, hey, let's keep the band together, but you don't want to eat a contract where you anticipate the production dropping down.
Yeah, we didn't. I know there was a lot of talk about years and so on, and we just looked at total dollars. So, you know, from our standpoint, for the most part, you look at these things through total dollars. Yes, at some point, the years obviously do matter and impact. But generally speaking, it's what's the total commitment to the player. You can cut things up any way you want. You can do the math any way you want. For us, it just came down to, you know, what was the total commitment for the ball club. We clearly did not get to $92 million. We got to what we felt was a significant number, a number that when we had discussions internally early in the offseason was less than where we ultimately ended up. So we did stretch from our standpoint and our analysis, but we were still short of the Twins, and I don't blame him. He got a fantastic contract, and I think it was, you know, he needed to take that deal. But not only are they a great ball club, a contending ball club, it's a great place to play and live. So I mentioned this to someone earlier today. When you're an elite, great player, and you're a free agent, you're going to have a lot of options, and rightfully so. He earned it.
It is Alex Anthopoulos, guys, Braves general manager here on Dukes and Bell. First time we've had a chance to visit with the GM. He's been very busy. And I said to Mike, it's been a very busy offseason. I mean, going off over all these deals that you've already done to try to improve our team. Starting pitching, bullpen, and obviously Donaldson, not necessarily in that order, but that's kind of how it played out. I want to ask you about our bullpen because, Alex, I actually think just looking at it, we might have the best bullpen in the National League. Do you agree?
No, I don't know that I would go that far with it just because the games are played on the field, and we've seen over the years there's all kinds of talk about, you know, how many wins a team should have, how well someone should play, and so on. So I can say that I think our bullpen has improved. I like the depth in our bullpen. I think we're in a good position. Where it ultimately ends up, we need help, we need good performance. Things don't always go the way you plan, but that's why we try to be as deep as we could. If we do have any injuries or drops in performance, we have enough guys.
Follow up on that. We had 28 one-run games last year that we won. And part of the issue was the bullpen. That number could have been better. We know we lost a lot of games when we had leads and the bullpen failed us, which made you go out and make those deals. So, you know, when you talk about the flexibility of the bullpen, my issue last year was we didn't have a plan, at least in my opinion, to close games. Do you feel like we do now?
Well, I mean, look, last year, clearly we felt good about the bullpen. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, and we're not going to, at least as a general manager, I'm not going to bat 1,000. I wish I could, but I think ultimately, as long as you get most of the decisions more right than wrong. But, you know, we liked Minter Vizcaino going into the year. Vizcaino got hurt early. Minter was clearly not the same guy. He got hurt as well in spring training. And we had to basically turn over the entire bullpen. We did address the bullpen at the trade deadline. It was not a good position to be in. I don't want to have to go through that again when we have to fill three back-end arms and have to make trades. And then you look at the playoffs. Like I said, the first four games of a five-game series, we had leads going into the eighth inning. So as much as we talk about, well, we didn't hit as much as we wanted to or maybe a starting performance, we had a chance to win the games. We were six outs away or less the first four games, and we just couldn't close these games. Oh, we couldn't close all four. We got two of those four. So I think that definitely was in our mind when we went out this offseason to try to make some deals.
It is Alex Anthopoulos with us, guys. We were talking earlier, Alex, GM of the Braves, about hopefully that Austin Riley comes in out of Northport and he's raking and he's good to go. A lot of people have talked about Chris Bryant, Arenado. Now, I know that everybody thinks it's like a Strat-O-Matic baseball game, but the teams that have got that kind of talent, are they asking for guys that in your mind are just untouchable?
No, I can't really get specific to what, you know, teams or specific teams are going to ask for. I mean, I could speak from a general standpoint. Mm-hmm. For the most part, anytime we're engaged in trades, if teams are looking for prospects, they're going to ask for our top guys. You're hopeful and you're optimistic that they ask for what you consider the right guys for you, the guys you're more willing to trade, but most clubs are so well run and GMs do a great job that they ask for the right players and the ones that you really don't want to trade. With some of these other clubs that are contending, that have players available, it's tough because if they're going to take a big league player off their team, and they still have designs on winning and getting to the playoffs, you're likely going to have to trade big league players back. So you're ultimately going to create a hole. You can certainly look to the free agent market to backfill some of those areas or maybe three-way trades and so on. But trades are hard to begin with. And from our standpoint, look, we've been pretty reluctant to trade some of our best young players. We've made everybody available in trade.
Right.
We've never taken a player off the table other than Acuna when I first got here. You know, other than that, I've never told a general manager that someone is untradeable or we won't talk about them. It's just, obviously, depending on what we would get back, we'll have guys that have, you know, guys will cost more in terms of trades.
Alex, every year guys have to take a jump. Who, in your opinion, needs to take that jump for this Braves team this season? Obviously, there's a lot of eyes on Austin Riley, and I think you know this. The fan base right now is skeptical about trusting the fact that Austin Riley will deliver for the entire season based on what we saw last year. Who needs to take a jump?
I mean, look, with respect to third base, there's no doubt. I mean, we had interest in Josh Donaldson because of certainty and how great a player he is and the uncertainty of Riley and Camargo both. So, ideally, you'd like certainly all over the roster. That's unlikely to happen when you're trying to put a team together. You do need some good stories and some guys to pan out. Now, Camargo, when he was an everyday player in 2018, was a good player. Riley has shown flashes of being a great player. And looking at his career, every time he's had to repeat a level, his second year when he's finally going to repeat it, he does excel. So that said, there's no guarantees, but we're optimistic and hopeful Riley can click during the season. If not, Camargo, we've seen what he can do as an everyday player in 2018. He made some changes to his swing. We're optimistic about him. The fact that our lineup has more depth now, we're not as reliant upon one specific spot. So if we don't have production from one area, if we have an injury and so on, you don't want to build a lineup around one or two guys. You're trying to be as deep as you can, and I do believe we have that. In terms of guys needing to step up and so on, I look at it as more as who do we hope will step up for us. Obviously, we want everybody to play well, but if you'd ask me today, we have so many young arms with promise and with upside, and if we can get one or two of those guys the way Fried and Soroka took a step,
right,
I think our rotation is really going to be a key for us because I do believe in our offense. I believe in our bullpen, and if we can just have a real solid rotation that can have health, I think we got a chance to have a great year.
Because Cole Hamels comes in, he had a great start for the Cubbies last year, then tailed off. You think he can give you the innings?
Yeah, we're certainly excited and optimistic about him. Like you said, it was a tale of 2 years for him. The first half, he was great. Hurt his oblique, came back fast, shoulder was not right. Finally had a bit of a blow in September for 10 days, got his shoulder right, came back and pitched a fantastic game against the Cardinals. And we think we've got a good chance to get the guy who performed so well in the first half of the year before he got hurt. And the makeup and the work ethic and everything else is great. But obviously he's getting older in his career. But we're hopeful we're getting someone like an Andy Pettit that can have another 4 or 5 great years in him.
Alex, every time we call, you answer and you come on. We appreciate that. Atlanta appreciates that. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Glad to do.
So we talked to Alex right there, guys, and if you just caught the tail end of it, it's online at 929thegame.com. We mentioned earlier, Carl, a lot of listeners and Braves fans going, well, there you have it. The team wouldn't step up. Well, as we said, I think there's also a lot of people have said, I can't go to bat with that contract. You know, a guy, that's the reason why there's only been one other contract that big for a dude who's 33 years of age or older. So it ain't my money. If I was running the show, I'd say, hey, well, how much we got here? We got $9 billion on the books. That's rock and roll. Let's keep the band together, and we'll dump him off like Mike Hampton, and 6 other teams will pay for his contract.
All right, man. Thank you again, Alex Anthopoulos. Let's get to tonight's game winner, Mike Bell.
People you think are snarky. People you think are snarky. You think Hooper was snarky, or just he's just telling it like it is?
He's telling it like it is. As my mom used to say, it's not what you say. It's how you say it.
A celebrity, an athlete, somebody you think is snarky. And if you're from Noonan, I'll explain what snarky is next at 404-741-0929. Snarkiness.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question.
All right, some people thought Hoop sounded a little snarky. Some say he's just telling it like it is, man. Agent said, put the message out there. Give me your last game in a Falcon uniform. Albeit as a Pro Bowl alternate.
Stop, Mike. He is at the Pro Bowl. Respect what Hooper's done. Does he deserve to get paid? Whether you think he does or doesn't, guys, mm-hmm. He's put up numbers that are comparable to guys of his age.
Right.
At the position, he's going to get some money. There's no doubt about it. I just would like for him to be, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, Mike?
More contrite?
That's the word.
He seemed a bit snarky to me. Snarky of a person, sharply critical, cutting snide. Use him to sentence, Bobby's always a bit snarky before his nap. So there you go. Let's see what you guys think.
Very nice definition.
Hey, man, who do you think? A celebrity, an athlete, somebody maybe in your interaction you felt was snarky. Hey, man, you're on the radio. What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man, I'm probably going in a different direction than everybody else, but I'm going to go with a number one, Belichick, Popovich second.
This is a good call. He said Belichick and then Popovich second.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because we were talking about load management. If you're heading on down to the Hawks game tonight, we're not going to see Patrick Beverley. Now, it looked like there was a physical game last night, and sometimes there are legitimate injuries in back-to-backs, and this is a game, obviously, the Clippers think they don't need everybody to win. We're the worst team in the league. But if you're, you know, you want to lie, look back, Carl, where the load management phenomenon, it was almost like Popovich thumbing his nose to the league when the Spurs were playing the Heat in a big game.
Yeah,
you know, was it a TNT game, right?
I think it was at the time, and that was, you know, Ginobili, Parker,
right.
Tim Duncan.
And that was kind of snarky.
It was. I don't disagree with him. Here's the deal with Pop, and I've said this for years. You ask Pop a dumb question, and he calls you out on it, and it makes him look snarky, but guys really do like Pop. He's a very well-liked right. individual around the league. But his deal is like, so Pop, why'd you lose? And he'll go, we didn't score enough baskets.
Right.
Like, and so it makes him sound like a smart egg, but he's just calling you out.
And you want to say he doesn't suffer fools too well either. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Somebody out there in sports acting, whatever you want to throw. You think he's snarky?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, so, guys, I'm starting to realize that every time you guys ask about who you hate, I say the same person. So, yeah, I just really hate Ian Poulter. I think he's just
Ian Poulter.
And my second would be an actor, Joaquin Phoenix, because he just doesn't appreciate the fact.
Wow.
Well,
there's a great article, and oh, where the hell did I read it? Maybe it was in the New York Post by a columnist. The point being is that how actors don't want to talk to anybody unless they're making an Oscar run. And then it's everything. He hasn't talked about River Phoenix's death ever.
It's true.
And now he's on 60 Minutes with the family, gets the other relatives involved.
It's true.
So it's interesting. But, I mean, look, actors, you're getting paid to play make-believe, and some are more normal. We'll never know. For all I know, Tom Hanks is a devil worshiper. I don't know, but he seems like the most normal of all the actors out there. And Joaquin is definitely dancing the beat of a different drummer.
He does. And he's great in the movie, guys. I think he's going to win the Oscar, by the way.
I think he will, too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Someone in your opinion is snarky.
Hey, man. I don't know if this guy's snarky or just a booty hole, but Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. Yeah, he's a little snarky.
I agree with that.
And again, I think that would probably be the definition. No reason to do the choke sign. And by the way, some would say if you do believe in karma for some of the things he's pulled, again, it may bother you or not if you're a Saints fan, but you know, you could argue you brought it on yourself.
Sure enough.
You know, you're talking a lot of smack. And
enough!
The karma boomerang is coming at you.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio. Joe, what do you got for us?
Hey, man. Hey, rest in peace, but I have to say Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, Squid Billy's going to come and find you. You better take that back.
I think he's right, though.
You think Earnhardt is snarky?
I think he's right.
Them fighting words for Squid Billy.
I know they are. I think he's right. But it's also part of his appeal, right?
Are we talking about the late Dale Earnhardt or Junior? Because Junior's about as approachable as they get.
No, we're talking about the late.
Yeah, Dale was, well, he's just a redneck. Sorry. Squid, I mean, it is what it is. He was just old school. You know, if he
and
didn't
some
like
some people would say that was snarky.
Right. If he didn't like you, you didn't. He was, you know what? He was never. Put it this way: today's generation of NASCAR stars all play the game, other than maybe Kyle Busch. And Dale was never going to do it. Rusty Wallace is like Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, he didn't.
Rusty Wallace was that guy, and Dale would never ever play that game. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Oh, sorry about that. Hey, man, see, he was an Earnhardt fan. He hung up. You're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for a dude you think is snarky?
It's got to be Jim Rome.
No. That is great. I am snarky. Wreck that guy. He gets me.
Yeah.
But that's, honestly, Rome is an affectation. It's not like Rome comes home and goes, hey,
yes,
honey.
He does. Yes, he does.
Hey, honey, what is for dinner? Yes. That is great. I would love a pot roast.
That's what he does.
No, he does not. Send it. No way Rome comes home and does that.
That's what he does. Tiffany, how was school? He does.
Does he also read off a script like he does on his radio show?
We're making up that. Guys, I have no idea what he does at home. But to Mike's point,
right.
Yeah, we've had our experiences with Rome. I mean, very successful. But I would say, depending on you meet him in the right time of day, he could be snarky. That's true.
Right. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Somebody you feel is snarky.
Hello?
Hey, man. What you got?
I'm the snarky one. I'm one of the 128 in the paper football.
Okay.
Showdown, and I'll see you there on Saturday.
Yeah,
I'm snarky.
That's what I like to hear.
From Cartersville, I'm snarky, baby.
All right. Bring the heat.
Practicing, baby.
Get your finger worked out. Get your finger worked out.
We just did. Oh, by the way, he's fired up, and I like the passion. We just did the whole rule presentation. If you think that I'm going to be a ref for any one of those games, you're out of your freaking mind.
Well, I got to say this.
People get hot.
At the end, when you get down to the final couple of tables, it's real. Because, again, you are playing for $1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, but with that said, there are rules. There will be security, just so you guys know. All right.
I see the guys refereeing. Willie P, Tommy Mott, these guys that step up to the plate. Dwayne Walker, I want no part of refereeing
this
stuff.
I'm going to be socializing, Mike. You guys enjoy the refereeing thing.
We're going to have some ice cold Hey Man for you guys. Stars and Strikes right there on Sandy Springs off Roswell Road all day Saturday. You got the final word, bro. Who's snarky in your mind?
Hey, man. There's this guy that I got to deal with in the mornings. He just won't stop talking about some guy named Taco Fall.
Oh, come on.
No, please, sir. We cannot end like that. That's a thinly veiled shot at one of our coworkers.
That's just not right.
You've got the final word, sir. Who is snarky in your estimation?
Mr. Kyle Busch.
Yes, there you go. That's two NASCAR references. Kyle Busch. Kurt Busch, by the way, I know some people can take him or leave him. When I interviewed him for Fox years ago, you know, guys always say, hey, will you come out to Vegas? Call me. Well, I did. And he showed up. He was the first kid. He actually worked for a living. The brother, the younger one. Now, you could argue pound for pound, probably more talented. Can't stand that guy.
I'm shocked the number worked.
Me too. He was young. It was right after he won the championship.
Because you know guys do that all the time. Yeah, call me.
But no, good dude. And Kyle got no interest. And I'm with that guy. He is snarky.
Hey, we got the Hawks coming up, man. Stay right there. We'll clear our throats. We're going to tell you what's coming up on the show Friday. Twin Peaks, Kennesaw. Come join us. It's Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.